Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to welcome all of you who have gathered here for worship today. We continue our journey through the season of Lent, our eyes fixed on the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, reminding us of the reason that he came, to give himself as a ransom for us, so that you and I might have forgiveness, so that you and I might have that promise of resurrection and life eternal. I believe all the announcements are in the bulletin, but I think there's a few of them that bear, you know, that should be, make sure that you notice them. Reminder, as we, the opportunity for midweek Lenten worship on Wednesday evenings. Also reminding you that today the orders for Easter flowers are due. If you're hungry after church, the Ridgeville Township Fire Department is having their pancake and sausage breakfast. And also, next Sunday is the time change. Remember to set your clocks ahead, because we don't want you walking into church in time to hear the benediction. I think everything else is in the bulletin. So let's begin our worship singing hymn 437, Alas, and Did My Savior Bleed.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my sovereign die? Would he divide his sacred head for such a worm as I? Was it for crimes that I had done he groaned upon the tree, a mixing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond?
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins,
God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We'll join together now in the responsive speaking of Psalm 121. I lift my eyes to the hills.
From where does my help come?
My help comes from the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
He will not let your foot be moved.
He who keeps you will not slumber.
Behold, he who keeps Israel
will neither slumber nor sleep.
The Lord is your keeper.
The Lord is your shade on your right hand.
The sun shall not strike you by day,
nor the moon by night.
The Lord will keep you from all evil.
He will keep your life.
The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in.
From this time forth and forevermore.
In peace let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you see that of ourselves we have no strength. By your mighty power, defend us from all adversities that may happen to the body, and from all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday in Lent is from Genesis chapter 12. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, and with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abraham journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from Romans chapter 4. What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but trusts him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, "I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Would you please, in honor of our Lord Jesus, please rise for the verse and the reading of the gospel. We join together.
Return to the Lord your God,
for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love.
The Holy Gospel, according to St. John, the third chapter. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We join together now in professing our Christian faith as we speak the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated. I don't see any children here today, so we will continue our worship with the singing hymn 571, God Loved the World So That He Gave.
God loved the world so that He gave His only Son, the lost to save, that all who would in Him believe should everlasting life receive. Christ Jesus is the ground of faith.
Mercy, peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Please be seated. George Bernard was struggling with personal problems that were causing him a great deal of trouble and anguish. And in his suffering, his mind returned again and again to Christ's anguish on the cross. The cross that he pictured was not ornate or pretty or gold or silver. It was a rough, splintery thing stained with gore. You see, George Bernard was under the influence of our text for the day, John 3:16. I saw the Christ of the cross, he said later. It's as if I were seeing John 3:16 leave the printed page, take form, and act out the meaning of redemption. And so, in a room in Albion, Michigan, Benard sat down and he wrote a tune. And he struggled for weeks to set words to the melody that he had written. And then Benard, a Methodist evangelist, he was scheduled to preach a series of messages in New York. And he found himself focusing on the cross. And the theme of the cross grew increasingly more urgent to him. And he struggled once more with the words to his hymn. And this time, the lines came. He later told a friend, "I sat down and immediately was able to rewrite the stanzas of the song without so much as one word failing to fall into place." He says, "I called my wife, took out my guitar, and sang the completed song to her, and she was thrilled." And so in June 1913, George Benard introduced the new hymn. And the words went like this: "On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown." And face it, you knew it. You could have said the words right along with me. But the old rugged cross became one of the most popular hymns of the 20th century. And I think John 3:16 has had that effect on many people. And that's why, even though our lesson from the Gospels for the day is John 3:1-17, we're just going to focus our attention on this one verse. Martin Luther called John 3:16 the gospel in miniature. Or I've also heard it put out or spoken of as the gospel in a nutshell. You know, that it contains everything. You know, in other words, if all you had of the New Testament was this one verse, it would be enough to save your soul. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I mean, we've heard this beautiful verse so often that we're tempted to take it for granted. But have you ever thought what it would mean if you changed just one or two key words in the sentence? Let's change one verb. "For God so rejected the world." That makes a big difference in the sentence, doesn't it? Or it could read, "For God so loved nice people." But it doesn't read that way either. It says, "For God so loved the world." You know what? That's everybody. It's the rich, the poor, the beautiful, the ugly, the saint, the sinner. It's you and me. Or maybe we could tinker with the second half of the verse. "For God so loved the world that he gave it a stern warning." You know, you look through the Old Testament, and many times God gave stern warnings. But they rarely did much good. The people still went their own way. And nothing much made a difference until God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. This morning we're going to spend some time with this little verse, John 3:16. Listen to it again. Consider what a world of difference it would make if even one word were changed. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. Maybe one other change. Instead of the words, the world, I invite you to place your name there. For God so loved. Do you realize that what God did, he did for you? That even if you were the only person in the world, Jesus would have still gone through everything that he endured for your sake. This week, we're focusing on God's love. And there's nothing in this entire universe that can compare with God's love. And the verse begins by announcing that God loved us all of us, even before we loved him. There's another place in John's writing in which he says something profound about love. This is from 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. And we read these powerful words: whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And then in verse 10, he adds, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. I mean, think about those words for a moment. Whoever does not love does not know God. My friends, this is what the gospel is all about, love. Whoever does not love does not know God, says St. John. Why? Because God is love. You see, God is the real measure of love. And it's only by God's Spirit that we are able to know and share real love. God loved us. Do you see, understand that God loved us before we were even capable of loving him in return? I mean, think about it. That's always a risk, isn't it? Being the one who expresses love first. A risk to put your heart out there and to hope that that other person feels the same way about you. But God didn't wait for us to love him. God knew that we would break his heart. And God loved us, knowing full well that we would never be able to return his love. His love was truly unconditional. Notice that John 3:16 doesn't say, for God so loved good people who loved God back. He says, God so loved the world. No limitations, no exclusions, no maybes, no fine print. Let me ask you, are you a part of this world? Then you are completely lovable in God's eyes. You see, God loved us first, and that's the first thing that we need to see. And here's the second, that this verse tells us just how much God loves us. God loves us so much that he sent his most precious gift, his Son. I mean, it's easy to say, I love you. Or we talk about love, I say, well, I love pizza, and I love football, and I love, well, all kinds of things that you could come up with. And we use the word pretty lightly sometimes. And sometimes when we say I love you to someone, we even mean it. But you know what? It's a different thing to to put love into action, to give up your own life, to ensure that others could live. Is there any greater love than this? You see, God loved us first. God loved us enough that he gave his one and only Son. But why did he give his Son? You know the answer. That whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. To be honest, God had a million reasons to condemn the world, but he didn't. God saved the world by giving his absolute greatest gift that he could give. And God made us a promise that whoever believes, yes, whoever believes in God's Son, Jesus Christ, will not perish, but have eternal life. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, may it keep our hearts and our minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen.
What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call on the name of the Lord. I will take the cup of salvation and will call on the name of the Lord. I will pay
Gracious God, receive these offerings. Lord, they're just part of the rich blessings that you have given to us. And we thank you, Lord, for all of your blessings. And we pray, Lord, that you would make them useful for the work of your church. We pray for the proclamation of your word, and we pray for the work of your Spirit to work faith in the hearts of all who hear it. We ask this in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. Amen. And now, in peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For faith, to fix our eyes on the Son of Man, and to turn from the things of the flesh, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all pastors, that they would patiently teach the faith to all who question the way of salvation in this and every generation. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all fathers who are given the calling to hand down the faith, that their hearts would be filled with the words of Christ, and that they would show forth his mercy. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Donald Trump, our president, Michael DeWine, our governor, the Congress of the United States, the legislature of this state, and all who make, administer, and judge our laws, that we would preserve our liberty and use its gift wisely in the pursuit of justice and for the welfare of all people. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the people of God, in their sorrows and sicknesses, especially we remember Don and Alice, Margaret and Bernetta, Bill and Gary, Deb and Francis, Kim and Andrew and Michelle, and Brandy and Heather and Gary and Michael, Ray and Chelsea, Norma and Ron, Vicky and Jema, Judy and Kyle, Marilyn and Renee, Michelle and Diana, Deb and Carolyn, Jordan and Tyler, and all of those others, Lord, who we raise up before you in our hearts. That Christ would sustain them in their afflictions, comfort them in the hour of death, and raise up the dead according to his gracious promise. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Gracious God, we also remember and think in our prayers of the turmoil in the Middle East. And we pray, Lord, for your hand of peace and blessing. Be with all of our servicemen and women, no matter where they might be throughout the world. May your hand of protection be upon them. And gracious God, we pray for your spirit of peace to descend upon the nations of the world. And now, Lord, for faith to hear the word of Jesus, to trust in his death on the cross, and to receive his body and blood for forgiveness, life, and salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For faith, that like Abraham, we may delight in the Lord's promise kept in Christ, and for the Holy Spirit, that we may witness to his name and carry his gospel to every place and people, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
All these things,
and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. We rise. Lord, now let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to the nations and the glory of your people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Amen.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. We will continue our worship with the singing of hymn 918, "Guide Me, O Thou Great Redeemer."
My strength and shield, be thou
fill my strength.